Okay, Tim, good to go when you are.
Cue the music.
This is just a guide to modern life. Modern life is hard to get just right. It can frustrate you and annoy. And if it does, right into dear Lovejoy.
Welcome to the Dear Lovejoy podcast, sponsored by Cooker, spelt quicker, pronounced cooker, 100 degree boiling hot water. Straight from your kitchen tap. It also does filtered sparkling water too. Woohoo! Today, my dear listeners, it is a mailbag special. During this podcast, I will be giving advice. Please remember, and please never forget either, if you do decide to take advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which, as we all know, is a horrible idea.
Just terrible.
Mark is here. You can hear him there to keep me in check. Dude, how are you?
What? Dude, this isn't Saved by the Bell. You're not Slater.
I've become obsessed with
you're not David Hasselhoff.
I can't stop saying dude. I keep saying dude at my kids and they keep saying, Dad, stop it. It's just, it's stuck in my head now. Dude, I keep listening to Americans on podcasts and they call each other dude all the
well,
time.
Well, it's not going to happen on this podcast, Tim. I can assure you.
Dude, I'm doing it. I can't stop it. It's like a habit now. It's terrible. All right, Mark, I've decided to up the ante at the top of these podcasts. We've got loads of letters, by the way. Loads. Brilliant. We're not going to get through them all. Thank you for keep on sending them all in. But Mark, tell me something that has had an impact on your life this week.
This week?
Yeah. I used to do this, right, when I had in a previous job where I had a team I had to control. It's a great tip, this, by the way, for you. Anyone who's an employer out there or a manager of a department, sit down with people once a week and say, hey, what's had an impact on your life? And A, you get to learn about them. It could be anything, a song, someone saying something, a poem, a podcast, a film, a TV show. But you get to learn a lot about stuff if you just do it. I learned so much. It was when I first heard about the podcast Serial was in one of those meetings. And I went away and listened to it. And I'm not really into that sort of podcast.
Am I taking from this, from that I'm your employee?
No, what you're taking from that is we're just getting to learn a little bit more about each other, Mark.
Okay.
So what's had an impact on your life?
Well, it's not very impactful, but I started watching Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee again.
Love that show.
Because the new series is starting. Season.
Is it?
Starting on Netflix, yes, next month.
When? Oh, amazing. That's my favourite. One of my favourite TV shows.
Eddie Murphy's on it.
Is he?
Yes.
I wonder what Eddie Murphy does now.
He doesn't
do stand-up anymore, does he?
I think he does.
Does he?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, I love that show. It makes me really happy.
And so that's why I watched it.
Through some of my dark times, when I had them more recently in the last few years, I watched that. I just binged watched it because it just made me happy. And the way they're taking apart, A, they're funny. And I got to meet some comedians that I liked from it, which I didn't know about, like Norm MacDonald and people like that, who just made me laugh on it. And also, I just think it was nice and just slow. And the way they do analysis of comedy, I really
enjoyed. And
they're
only sort of 19 minutes long, aren't they? And you can't get, but you end up wanting more from it, which is a thing that we could all learn from, Tim.
Yeah. Too true. The impact has had on my life this week is the White House and Mortimer Go Fishing audiobook.
Oh, I love an audiobook.
Right. But it's really weird. I'm desperate to know. I can't be bothered to buy it as a book form. But the audio podcast is just two blokes sitting around chatting about life and comedy and stuff like that. How it works as a book, because they literally just sit and they're talking. Then every now and then they start reading.
Oh, okay.
It's really funny. They go, I like fishing. A trout is a fish, which is... It's like you can tell both of them are reading.
Yes.
And that's the book. But the rest of it is just them chatting. And it's just so lovely. Two of my... I hate to use the word heroes, so I don't have heroes. But in comedy terms, they are both just extraordinary men. They're so talented, both of them.
Yeah.
Ridiculously talented. If you're in the same room as them, their brains are sharp. They're just funny. And, you know, and I'm lucky enough to know both of them. And to listen to that audiobook is just... It's what I think has been missing from TV for a while, but has come back, and especially with podcasting, is slowness. You know, Norway love all that slow TV. Well, happening.
It gives stuff time to breathe, doesn't it? Which is what podcasts do. Which actually, you know, going back to the Seinfeld Netflix thing,
Yeah.
Gives stuff time to breathe.
Because we quite like conversations as humans, don't we? We like listening to conversations. And as we can say on this podcast, when we first started, we were trying to produce the shit out of this, weren't we? We were like, because we come from a background of radio and TV and everything. We're like, how do we produce it? What's the format? How's it going? And I have these meetings about podcasts at the moment, and people keep saying to me, how do we format it? What's the format? It's like, it's a bloody podcast. It's that's where podcasts in Britain, I think, are going wrong often. I mean, look, who am I to say anyone else is going wrong? But what I love about podcasts is the fact that there's no duration, there's no format. It's just people just sitting around talking, and that's what I quite like. So, but we did do that to begin with, didn't we? We were trying to format
the very first one we recorded, I edited it to the bone.
Oh, we did,
I filleted it, and it was about 35 minutes, and you went, we're not doing this. This is not the thing we're doing.
Mm. But we were talking bullshit on that one. Not that we're not going to talk bullshit on this one either.
We've just spent the last 5 minutes doing just that.
Do you remember that when you first swore, it was you or me, and you first swore, and we both went, oh my God, they're swearing. Because we're so not used to swearing. No. There's the F word in this podcast, by the way. One of our discerning listeners has written it. So if you're offended by the F word, then tune out now. Anyway, I like all that sort of TV and stuff. It's really good. So that's had the impact on me. Now let's go on to more serious subjects of CBD oil. I've been taking the CBD oil because we know we did a podcast on that recently. It's had quite a big effect on me. I thought it was going to be like, I'll be truthful with you, I thought it'd be like taking olive oil. You know, I just thought it would have no effect on me at all. I was honest with the Hayley when she came on from Canadox, and I said I was sleeping really well. It has totally regulated my sleep.
Yeah.
Right? I go to bed, and what I used to do, I'll be honest with you, it's not good. It's not a good habit, but I used to get into bed and listen to podcasts to go to sleep.
Oh, that's absolutely fine.
Well, you say that, but it's pointless now. I'm asleep. My head hits the pillow, and I'm gone. Like a child.
Yeah.
However, I've stopped taking it. I've stopped taking it. I've literally had to go down to once or twice a week. I started getting a bit drowsy.
Right.
Because I think it's had such an impact on me. It's made me really mellow, really relaxed. I do feel a difference in that. And I think it's either me getting control of my life or the CBD, but I've kind of got a bit more mellow. But what it's done is I'm now just taking it once or twice a week. But I did email Hayley and I said to her, look, I'm feeling a bit dizzy. And she said, well, just pull back on it then for a while and just take it.
You have spoken to her?
Yeah, okay. I said, because I'm feeling dizzy. And she said, well, just pull back on it and take it when you need it. But it has really the sleep thing is off the scale for me. I'm like a small boy again. How are you getting on with it? Because you've had some as well.
What do you mean, you like a small boy?
Well, you know when you're a kid, your head hits the pillow and you're boof. And then as you get to become an adult, you do things like listen to podcasts. So you get these.
Well, you just have more worries. So there's more things keeping you awake at night.
Well, this is what it apparently does. It calms the thinking in your head. And I can hear all these people. I've tried it. They have apps, which is like rain on a tent or something to try and get them to sleep. I'm like, Jesus.
That just made me want to go to the toilet.
So how are you getting on with that?
Not as positive reaction as you, actually, Tim. There's two things. The sleep has been good, but I can't get up in the morning.
Oh, so it's really hitting you.
Yeah, and I like to get up, as I've told you before, I like to get up when it's light, so I can go for a run, because I like to start the day with a run, because it just makes me feel better, you know, mentally. And I haven't been able to get up and do that.
Oh.
And so that's no good.
No.
So that's frustrated me a little bit. But the sleep has been solid. I would call my sleep solid.
Do you know what, though? It's interesting because I don't think I appreciated on how powerful it was. And that's the thing. I was just taking it going, oh, this is all right. I'm getting some sleep here. But I think it's been really quite a powerful thing. So clearly it's affecting you in a lot. Which is interesting because I imagine your tolerance to things a lot better than mine. I mean, let's take alcohol. Your tolerance for that's a lot better than mine. Mine's horrific and mine's pathetic. Yours is kind of good. So, but maybe it's the other way around on a substance like
this. Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, what we learned from the the study we did, that we're both, you know, all bodies are very, very different. So
yes, very true. And also the strength we're taking is the strongest one.
Yeah.
40%. Maybe we need to ease up a bit.
Maybe. This sounds like a small thing, but it isn't, is the taste. I started to, you know, because we did that intermittent, we both do that intermittent fasting thing.
Don't and, like it.
I had to have breakfast in the morning because I just go, wake up and it's like I've been smoking.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe you get used to it. I didn't mind it.
It's like a sharpness, like olive oil.
Yeah.
You know when you get a sharp taste of olive oil. I didn't.
Maybe I should dip it in some bread and balsamic vinegar.
That's it. Yeah. Serve it like that or cook your pasta.
But no, I mean, you know, it clearly does something.
Yeah. Well, listen, if you've taken it, please let us know how you're getting on and what you think about it, because I think it's an interesting thing. We got a great email in actually from Ed, who said, such a great podcast on cannabis oil. Our 10-year-old son has epilepsy and we're working our way through lots of medicines with the support of Great Ormond Street with little joy. If the UK relaxed their laws, then Finn would have further option to explore. The case you reference, we were talking about this kid on it, weren't we? He's called Billy Caudwell from Ireland. He's regrettably falling aside. A year on, this case hasn't progressed. In fact, his mother continues to campaign. Look him up on Facebook page. It's Keep Billy Alive. But he has just 2 days of medicine left. This was sent to us a few weeks ago, so he'd have run out of medicine by now. And Ed says, simply heartbreaking. Anyway, thanks for raising the profile on this and other issues through the podcast. Cheers. Listen, this is a fact I'm telling you, because I've done so much reading on this. Our politicians and our press, our media, have been lying to us about drugs for such a long time. We've got to start the conversation. I've been trying to talk to MPs on Twitter about it. We need to reform drugs, and we need to do it soon. The urgent cases are for medical use, for, you know, definitely for children and things. You know, the medical use of it is very important. But also we need to change the laws. If you haven't listened to our podcast with Neil Woods, and this is, you know, you haven't listened to that one, you've just skipped to this one, this is the first one you listen to, go back and listen to it, because it's really important. We need drug reform. We need to make our children safer in this country. We need to legalize drugs, stop them being illegal, stop this ridiculous violence we've got going on in our streets. It's ludicrous. And also we've got to realize what these drugs are doing. They're not going to kill us all. That's a tough thing for me to say, because I know people overdose and everything else, but alcohol, which is one of the worst ones, is legal. So if we have that one as legal, we need to have all the others. Yeah, well it is. Prohibition didn't work on alcohol in America, as we all know, and it's not going to work on drugs around the world. Please go back and listen to Neil Woods. I'm going to do a podcast for UK Leap soon.
Did you know Finland had a longer prohibition period than America?
With alcohol?
Yeah.
Why?
Don't know.
Because they've been brainwashed, probably, and they went.
This was in the, you know, there's a similar sort of era, 20s, 30s.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know that until the other day.
Yeah. Okay. Other good podcasts. I really enjoyed the UFO one with Joe Wood. I really enjoyed that because I just like talking. I think this is sort of podcasting world. That's what it should be. I think, you know, if someone's doing a podcast on UFOs and aliens, we should all be listening to it, because I do love it. I think it's good. I haven't seen her Robbie Williams one go up yet, though, but I thoroughly enjoyed that. I can't get enough of that stuff. I've had a few people write to me saying they'd seen UFOs. I'm just always curious as to why I haven't seen them and other people have. It just seems madness that, you know, we're all looking at the same sky. Why aren't they coming over my head? And also the other thing to pick up on one of the podcasts was I talked...
There's no parking around here. I think they're probably...
It's London, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a bit of a dark nightmare for that sort of stuff. I was talking about just doing 20 minutes exercise a day. I can't remember what podcast I was talking about, but I went for a coffee with Drew Povey the other day.
Oh, okay.
And he said to me... what was so good about that is he started doing this exercise regime. I can't remember what it's called now. And he said, that is an actual thing. He said, I know you're making it up, but this 20 minutes a day, high intensity training is an actual thing that people are doing. And the results are fantastic. He's been doing it. And he says, he's in his words, he's actually got the, what are those muscles called?
Abs.
Abs. The abs are actually coming out. Which I thought was really funny for two blokes to be sitting discussing over a coffee in Soho. Should we get on with some of these emails?
Yeah, absolutely.
Letters? Okay. I haven't got any tweets today because we've got so many emails that I just thought we'd go through the emails, because, you know, people have been bothered to write to us. So I thought we'd do that. Okay. So the first one, just a quick, this one comes from, actually, I've got to check so many of these people so they don't want their names read out. Let me just check. No, this comes from Duncan. I think it's all right. Just a quick line on a Sunday's Father's Day of Arvo to say thanks for the top work on the Dear Love Joe podcast. Only 2 weeks ago, I was introduced to it by a friend, starting with Johan Hari episode. I'm now almost binged the lot. Jesus Christ, that's a lot, isn't it? It's 120 odd hours or something, maybe more.
More.
Jesus.
Well done. If we were still doing certificates, you'd get an embossed one.
He says, since first watching you with Helen in 1995 at uni, I started Soccer M in 96, but there you go, around that time.
Yeah, avidly, but he was watching you before that.
Yeah, how can he have done that? He's a time traveller. Avidly, every Sunday, and then through your Sunday brunch programme, I've always loved your broadcasting. Thanks a lot, that's nice. But I had no knowledge of your broader stuff, podcasting, and what led to that, i.e. depression and general coming to terms with modern life. The guests you have and debate you instigate with a very honest and mutual backdrop is the most refreshing and joy medium I've encountered. All your guests strike a chord. If I were in your shoes, the guest list would be remarkably similar. You talked after the Ronnie episode about doing more sports people. Yeah, I do speak about doing that. I just haven't got around to doing it. I can't help but think, given your history in general, gist of guests, someone from football back in the day would be amazing. Merson, Adams, Gazza, etc. The list is endless. It's funny that, because I was just saying to Mark before we started the podcast that people keep on approaching me saying, should we do a football podcast? And it's just, I just don't want to do it. I like doing this, the variety. I want to do more footballers. I think it'd be good for us to get on, but I just don't want to end up doing a football podcast. It's so obvious for me to do one. And yet, that's why I don't want to do it. It's too obvious. We did this for us, didn't we? And for fun and to do something different. I don't really want to go back into do that. But I will try and get them on. What I'm interested about footballers, though, more about is the relationship between the players and the fan. I think it's changed in my lifetime dramatically. I watched the Diego Maradona documentary recently. When Diego Maradona was playing, you know, he was earning a good sum of money, but he was playing for the Napoli fans. You can see that, you know, Paul Gascoigne was playing for the fans. I think the relationship has changed dramatically between the contract with the player and the fan. Don't want to go into it too much detail because we'll take up the whole podcast with it. But I think that's the beauty of Klopp and Pochettino and managers like that, is they've managed to connect the fan, the players, and all the club back together again. And that's the whether Liverpool didn't win anything last season. Fans were engaged, weren't they, with that team and with Klopp. And then you look at Chelsea, it's my club, we've got a player who definitely doesn't want to be there, our best player, maybe the best player in the Premier League, doesn't want to be there. You've got a manager who, you know, we don't know whether we like him or don't like him. We don't know what his relationship is. And then the club's all over the place.
He's gone now, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's gone to Juve. But the years ago, the club was the heart of the town. And that's what it was about. That's what people are buying into. It's changed, not down in the lower divisions, but it's changed. So that's what I'd like to talk to them about. Maybe we'll book some footballers, but all sports people. I do like the idea of that. Okay, let's go on to the next one. Dear Lovejoy, you said you were doing a Melberg episode at some stage soon. Here's my contribution. Please, please, please don't use my name. Have I just mentioned his name? I haven't, have I? A long-time listener, first-time writer.
Yes.
I've split up with a genuinely lovely man, basically because he doesn't want to get married and have more kids. I don't think I can rule out those things and become the elephant in an otherwise absolutely fantastic room, so to speak. I always thought I'd have my first kid by the time I was 30. Instead, at that age, I was dealing with a broken heart when the man, who I felt was the love of my life, revealed he was going back to his ex, got married, and instead revealed that she was pregnant, all while we carried on seeing each other. After him, I dated a great on-paper guy who unfortunately was incredibly controlling and left me feeling worthless. Then came a string of Tinder dates. Then Mr. No More Kids. So I'm now staring down a barrel of 34. That's really not old. Feeling lonelier than ever. One of the difficult parts of each breakup is realizing I'm going to have to go through it all again. Yeah, that is just a bitch, isn't it? No one wants to be doing that. Being vulnerable, getting to know someone, commit to a relationship, and then, as the pattern goes, end up flying solo after all. So basically, I'm looking for advice. Without sounding like a dickhead, you're cool already because you're using good language, right? I'm not a bad catch, she says. I have a great job that's got a decent profile. I'm reasonably smart, master's degree. That's
reasonably smart. That's very smart. I mean, it's not as the level that Tim and I are educated to, but, you know, it's not bad.
She enjoys current affairs. That's good. Have a sense of humour. Okay. And love the arts. I'm also a big gym fan. Keeps herself fit. Between PT sessions, running and yoga, I think I'm in pretty good nick. My job gets me out to meet people. What's the problem with this woman? What's her advice she needs? I stay really busy in my spare time going to events in my hometown as well as gym and gym class, etc. I'm a sociable person, but I never get chatted up. Ah, I'm really stumped as to where to meet men. Tinder and Bumble were such disasters. I can't bring myself to go on there again. I want to know why they were disasters. She hasn't put that detail in. What advice would you give to someone who is ready to settle down, but not just with anyone? Well, you're a package. She is a package, isn't she?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that, Tim.
I remember once I was single, my friend Julian went to me. You're a package. You're not a bad looking fella. You got a job. Because you're in good nick. You're a package. You'll do all right. I remember him saying that to me, and I just thought, that's a really interesting way of putting it. You're offering someone a package there, aren't you? Anyway, she carries on to say, I don't want to come across as desperate to shack up and have babies with anyone. If I'm going to have kids, the aim is to raise them within a loving, supporting relationship, not the first Tom, Dick or Harry who comes along. Yeah, the only problem with that loving, supporting relationship, I think that's what everyone dreams of, but the divorce rate is way over 40% now. So if you're looking at the reality, it's, you know, you've got to be honest with yourself. I think there's a lot of single parents out there, me being one of them, you know. That's kind of a reality going on, you know. Anyway, she goes on to say, at my age, I find most men on the shelf are already married or pretty bonkers. Does this by default make me a bonkers woman? Is it me or am I too picky? Is that even a thing? Should I just move cities to a new crop of men? Oh God, where do we start with this? I do you know what? I hate the someone will come along when you're least expecting it thing. That's what everyone always says to you, isn't it? Your friends always say that.
You had a bit of advice some time ago for a listener, which I thought was surprisingly good coming from you.
Yeah.
Which was start doing some hobbies or some clubs that and find people with similar interests that way.
Yeah.
She hasn't got any of those at the moment, has she?
I don't know.
She does she yoga and...
Yeah.
You don't really want to meet anyone at yoga while you're guffing into a mat, do you? So, I mean, what was the thing you said? Like, if you like the theatre, is it like a club you can go and...
Definitely join some clubs, running clubs.
Because then you meet people who are into the same things as you.
Definitely. What you're trying to do in life is find someone who's similar to you. This is the problem with Tinder and Bumble and all those dating sites, is they all say the same thing. I like doing yoga. I like going for a walk. I like red wine. Oh no, I like travel. Like, find me the person who doesn't like to travel. I mean, it's absolute bullshit. Everyone likes to travel. It's such a dumbass thing to put on one of those. I love traveling.
Dumbass and
dude
into the
same, dumbass dude
into the same podcast.
DAD, dumbass dude.
That's a dad.
Yeah. yeah, they won't come along with you sitting at home, that's for sure. A man will not come along. But, you know, what are you trying to do? Right, let's finish off the email and then I'm going to get into what I think you should do, right? I honestly wonder how much value my life... This is the bit which is so depressing. I honestly wonder how much value my life has if I'm single after 40 with no partner and no kids. What on earth would I be looking for? A house full of cats.
Generally
think I'd rather take myself off to Dignitas as there'd be very little point existing just for me. You've been told by society that to be a success, you have to be partnered up with someone. That is what you're being told constantly. Your life is not about that. Your life is about you. It's, what's that expression I heard the other day? It's a single game player. This is what this is, life. You're on your own. Right now you can meet somebody and have a great relationship with them. That's great, and we'd all love that. That's it. But it doesn't matter if you don't, because it's about your life. Some people don't get to go past 40, by the way. So if you're getting there and you're getting past 40, then you've got to be thinking, I'm kind of enjoying this life. This is it. It's up to you to enjoy it. You've got to learn to love being single, because if you don't love being by yourself, why should you expect somebody else to enjoy your company?
Has she got Netflix?
If you don't even enjoy your own company, fuck Netflix. learn to enjoy your own life. And once you enjoy your own life, I swore. That's how I reacted to that. Because you could end up just sitting watching Netflix. Netflix is so... It's so, you know, I'm still on my detox because it's so easy to fall into that trap.
That is such a, your Netflix detox is such a hypocritical load of tosh.
No, it's not.
It is because you are on your phone from the moment I get round here to the moment I leave. Yeah. So you're addicted to something.
Yes,
I am. And actually, me watching Netflix is much more sociable because I go off on my own and do it, where you do it while someone else is in the room trying to talk to you. So... In your face, matey.
Yeah, but the thing about...
No, there's no thing about it.
Hear me out.
No, that's it. Podcast is over. Goodbye. Bye.
The thing about Netflix is it's too good. That's what I worry about. You know, it's too good. So you're sitting there and you go... So say Narcos, for instance, or Breaking Bad, one of those great ones I got into. And then I think I'd rather do that than go out. And that's the problem with Netflix. So you'd go, this is more... I can guarantee entertainment for sit and watch, binge a couple of episodes. I can guarantee it. It's going out, it's hit and miss always, you know. And unless you're getting battered, then you know what you're going for. So anyway, so don't get addicted to Netflix, whatever you do. Any single people out there, don't get addicted. Make
so
sure
what you're
still
saying?
Going out. Go out, enjoy yourself. Get out there and about. Anyway, let me finish off. What I am saying is once you learn to enjoy your own company, other people can then see you as a viable option to enjoy your company. If you're just a miserable old... so-and-so sitting there going, God, it's boring being on my own. Then you suddenly go, I like being on my own. It took me 3 years, by the way, to learn to like being on my own. So I've done this. I sat for 3 years. I was single for 3 years, sitting around going, I'm going to be on my own here and I'm going to learn to like it. And now I absolutely love my own company.
It's the best thing.
You do, yeah. I didn't before. I hated it. I couldn't stand being in my own place on my own. Hated it.
There's 0% compromise. And that's the greatest play. You know when people like Ricky Gervais, they want to make their programs and their products and their TV shows and stuff. And the reason they go to places like HBO and Netflix is because they don't have to compromise. They make the thing they want to do. That's exactly the same as when you're living. You just go, I don't want to have to do the thing I don't want to do.
But you're genuinely enjoying your own company.
Yeah.
So I do now as well. And I've been in so many shitty relationships because I didn't want to be on my own.
I find coming around and talking to you once a week a bind.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Mutual feeling. So you've got to go and learn to be on your own. It's great and learn that. Right. So she finishes off. Sorry to not be a ray of sunshine, but it's a month since I broke up and the reality of being alone is... setting in. Thanks, lads. I'm genuinely a huge fan of the podcast. So many good guests, but also love the mailbag ep, which this is one. Also, PS, Tim, I have the biggest old crush on you. Ooh. Just for my own reference, how tall are you? I'm 5'10". I'm 5'11". Probably too short for her. Anyway, listen, I thought what we'd do, right, is think this whole thing through, because I thought it'd be kind of interesting thought process to think through.
You didn't need to read that last bit
being
out.
Single. Well, I do actually, because I'm going to get to it, I think, because, a life partner, would I be right in saying finding a life partner is pretty unrealistic with today's humans in Western society? Life, right? Our mums and dads' generation could do it. This generation, there's a chance, but it's 50-50, don't you think?
There's one in every two.
Yeah, look at all your mates. And stuff.
Yeah.
So you've got to realise it's quite a tough thing to do. So as I just alluded to a few minutes ago, remember life is it's only about you and you only. Obviously, when you have kids, you have to care about them and everything. Now, I think what we do is we all assume that everyone is the same. We all have the same needs, but we're conscious, so we don't. Like if you look at two bears, they go right. All I want to do is eat fish, scratch trees and procreate. They pretty much want to do the same things, whereas we go, I might want to go for a run or yoga, or I love travel, or I want to watch Netflix or something. So we have different needs and different demands because we're conscious and we can think about it. So what you need to do is you need to find a partner that can be that what you're looking for at the moment. So what do you need from a partner? One, friendship, yeah. Two, sex. Three, support. Four, watching Netflix as Mark wants to do, and five, procreation. Let's take those five simple things that you'd want to do, and you've got to find out which is the ones that you're...
Travel as well.
Travel, yeah. Oh, gosh, shit, yeah. Let me write that down. It's important, actually, travel. That is actually important, travel, because, you've got to find one of those people who likes travel if you want to. So when you're single, you're looking for those things. So say, for instance, you fancy me, then I'm a crap proposition for you, right? I'm only 5'11 and you're 5'10.
I can vouch for this as well.
And I've got three kids. The last thing I want to do is have another kid at the moment. I mean, I never say never, but I don't want a kid. So if you're looking at me, you're going, well, he's not the right prospect for me, because he, you know, you might have a crush on me, but I'm not looking for kids. You are looking for kids. So that's what you've got to start doing. You've got to work out what you actually want from a relationship, and then you've got to kind of find that. And I think once you work it all out, so you can get your friendship by just hanging out with your mates. You can just find guys to hang out with. I mean, that's really easy. And you can just have guys to have sex with. That's probably quite easy for you. I don't know. But and you can definitely find someone to watch Netflix with if you want to do that. Travel, you can find someone to do that. But what you're looking for is someone to have a baby with. So that's kind of, you've got to put that vibe out there. And I think that's when you're going to start looking for the right guy. So don't just keep going, I just want the cute guy. You've got to try and find someone who's going to be a partner for you. Does that make any sense what I'm saying there, Mark?
Yeah. That all sounds fairly. I mean, I think I wouldn't have taken. I think you took that email as a marriage proposal. I think I wouldn't. I don't think she was trying to ask you out.
Oh. Do you think? Yeah. Oh. Let's move on then. Dear Lovejoy, currently listening to this one. It looks like another book to download. He's talking about Johann Hari.
Oh, cool.
Hari. I always thought depression was something that happened to other people, people who are down on their luck, etc. Not like me with a good job, house, wife, daughter, and all the trappings.
Had house, house, comma, wife.
Yep, house. Good point. Not like me with a good job, comma, house, comma, wife, comma, daughter, and all the trappings. We had a wake-up call at the weekend. Had a wake-up call at the weekend with stress at work and long-term health issue getting on top of me, and it just went pop. Nothing really mattered for a day, and being a long-term Norwich City fan, I couldn't even be bothered to go to watch a secure promotion to the Premier League at home. That's when I knew it wasn't right. Listening to these podcasts, especially this one, however, has given me confidence to address it, to speak to other friends and work who have been supportive and will get me over this bump in the road. Not really for reading out. Oh, that's not that interesting. It is interesting.
Just don't read the name out.
But just wanted to know that these podcasts do make a difference. Made me chuckle sometimes as well. I tell you what, it's funny about the thing about not going to football. I remember that as well. I remember going to Liverpool-Chelsea in the depression at Anfield, sitting there and feeling so alone, even though I'm surrounded. And the Liverpool fans were chanting abusive songs at me. And I was just
Fans never do that, do they?
Well, no, they would have done as well. There was good humour, but I was just sitting there thinking, I'm so...
What was the score?
Oh, God knows. Actually, I've got to remember, what was the score? I don't know. It's really when you go when you
hit, you must remember when you go to a game whether they won or lost.
No, when you hit a hard time. No.
Sorry.
Because when you're hitting hard times, you just forget everything. The one big thing for me is for when I don't know if you've ever been like this, Mark, but I've got to a stage where I've been so down that I can't listen to music. Music is, I've realised, is so powerful.
Yeah.
That if you're feeling down, it can just hit you like actually football does, because it's got so many memories for so many years. So, you know, you'd by mistake flick onto an old football match of gold from 1980 something, and it just impacts you so much that you go, oh, I can't deal with that. Or you go to Stamford Bridge or wherever you're going and you go, oh, I can't deal with that. You know, it's like, oh, it's bringing back too many memories, and that happens. But music for me is the big one. Mm. And sometimes TV. Sometimes I've had to sit and turn it all off. Hey, but mate, you're doing the right thing. And my recommendation for you is get out in nature, do a lot of walking, do a lot of nothing as well, sitting and thinking, and do a lot of reading. That's how I've always dealt with my stuff. Read and read and read and read and read, you know. And
it's difficult to read sometimes though when your brain's mushed.
Yeah, I've been like that. But if you're just reading a couple of pages a day.
I mean, audiobooks are really great.
Yeah.
And funny ones.
Yeah.
Oh, can I recommend one while we're talking about it?
Yeah, go on.
Ramesh Ranganathan's one is so funny.
Is it?
It is so good. Yeah. I listened to that recently. Yeah. That will get you out of any hole.
Yeah. I sometimes go online and just watch comedy. It's true what they say. If you're laughing, you just feel happier. Yeah. So, but I think the whole depression thing, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of people saying at the moment, oh, we need to get stronger backbones. I think, no, we've got to realize that we've created a crap society for us. I say quite often on this podcast, I didn't suffer from depression. It's just because my life was broken. That's why it happens. And it's a way of my life, my mind saying to me, this is bullshit. I wasn't conducting myself properly. I was chasing the wrong thing. I was desiring the wrong stuff. I was hanging out with the wrong people. It was all, you know, it's kind of why I don't want to do a football podcast. I don't want to just tread over the same old ground constantly. You know, you've got to keep moving, keep adjusting and trying different things. Anyway, best of luck, mate. Thank you very much for writing in. I hope that works okay. Let's have a little word from our sponsors. This podcast is sponsored by Cooker, spelled Cooker, pronounced Cooker. Cue the theme tune.
Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q U. Turn on the cooker and instantly make a brew. Turn on the cooker. Cooker spelled with a Q U. Turn on the cooker. Hot water for vegetables too.
Yeah, 100 degree boy. Boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. There it is. It does everything. It does hot water. It does cold water. It does chilled filtered water. It does 100 degree boiling water, which you can make your brews with. You can do your vegetables in. And it also does filtered sparkling water now. It is amazing. Mark loves the filtered sparkling water, don't you, Mark?
I can't get enough of it, Tim. I was told off for using up all the bubbles the other day.
I love it. It's just absolutely brilliant. If you want to know more about it, go to cooker.co.uk. I think that's where you go. It's spelled Q-U-O-O-K-E-R. Thanks a lot for them for sponsoring the podcast. We love your product and we love you for doing that. We also got our friends Beer 52 on board as well.
We have, Tim. We have Beer 52. They are a craft beer delivery subscription service.
Yeah.
And our listeners can claim a free crate of beer. Mm-hmm. Just pay the postage and packaging of $5.95 and go to beer52.com/lovejoy to claim it. You can cancel your subscription at any time. And if you like the beers you've tried in the free beer box that you've got, you can go and buy them from their website. This month is...
Skull.
No Skull, Tim.
Skull.
No Skull, Tim. This month, Tim, is the Boston Beer Party month.
All right, you keep talking and I'm going to drag one out of the fridge. And
we're going to have one.
We'll try it, yeah.
Superb.
People like us trying one. There's some really interesting ones today.
Yeah, this is the Boston Beer Party month and all the beers are from Boston Breweries, obviously, and they've got the Harpoons Take 5 Session IPA, Clown Shoes have one called a Galactica Double IPA, and UFO have a Winter Blonde. And they've got a couple of darker beers in there as well. You also get a magazine and a snack. And we've been trying these for we've been trying these for a few months, and I've genuinely not had a bad one yet. Tim is a little bit more.
Oh yeah, no,
maybe a little bit discerning.
Jesus Christ! Because I keep them in my fridge, and I got out one the other day, and I thought, it's quite low potential. I'll have a go at that, and it was one of those sour ones. Oh. Honestly, it was absolutely revolting.
But, good sales technique, Tim.
It was so
perfect.
But it was amazing taste. But are those sour beers? They don't do me.
You don't
very
like
well.
Coriander, so I don't think you have an opinion on these, I'm afraid.
Yeah, well, right. So we've got two here to try. We're gonna pick one. Either the one with Dunkin' Donuts on it.
Well, that's a Dunkin' Donut. You're not going to like that, Tim.
Dunkin' Coffee, or we'll go for the one which is called UFO. Which one should
Let's
we go
for?
Let's
go for UFO in honour of our guest, Joe Woods, a few weeks ago.
Okay, let's have this a go. What's in this then, this one? Did we say where you go if you want a free thing?
Yes, it's. I'll repeat it. I'm absolutely fine. If you weren't listening, Tim, I'll repeat it.
I had my head in the fridge.
That's fine. It's beer52.com/lovejoy. Free case of craft beer. Just pay £5.95. And you get a magazine and a snack. Thanks,
yeah,
Tim.
Beer 52 is B-E-E-R and then 52 the number. All right, dude, let's try.
Stop it,
I
Tim.
I can't stop it. I cannot stop saying, dude, I've got to do it. Right, what are we having? We're having UFO, refreshing, smooth and light-bodied. Okay. Oh, that's nice.
Oh, dear God, that's delicious.
That's nice. That is a nice one. 4.8% as well. That's really light. Light drinks. On Sunday brunch, I found that light drinks have become really vogue. Everyone likes a lighter alcohol now.
Try that again, right?
Yeah.
Now, doesn't that taste like a shandy without the lemonade? Do you know what I mean?
It does. You're right.
That is...
Yeah.
What a summer drink that would be.
Yeah, that's nice. Nice light beer. All right, let's move onwards and upwards. This comes from... I can't keep checking whether I'm allowed to use their names. Do you know what? I might just not use his name because this is quite a personal one. I'm going to call him Jay. Dear Lovejoy, I want to start by saying I loved everything you've worked in. Oh, thank you. I've grown up watching you religiously on TV. In my opinion, this podcast is the best thing you have done. Really? Really? But I tried really hard on all the other stuff. I'm not trying very hard on this. All right, I love hearing your opinions about relationships, and I'm in need of a little advice. I split up with my girlfriend of 5 years about a month or so ago, and she is seeing someone else already. I hate the fact that we are not together and now she is with someone else, and it makes it even harder for me. It was a mutual breakup for the best, but it still hurts. I'm not even in the UK now. I've left the move to Canada. I'm currently traveling the Philippines and then going to Japan and Hawaii before making the move to Canada. Oh my God, you're having a great life. Listen to this. He's Philippines to Japan to Hawaii. I mean, on his profile, he can put, I love to travel, definitely. My time in the Philippines has been ruined slightly by constantly thinking about her and drinking way too much. I know I should be in the moment, but I'm really struggling. I don't want to ruin any more of my travels, and I'm looking for advice on how to move on, or even just so I think less about her with another guy. The podcast helps me so much, and I really hope you continue it. Thanks, mate. That comes from Jay. Time, mate.
I know that sounds so cliche, doesn't it?
See, the thing is, I'm reading this. I know it hurts like mad, and it's hurting you as you want to. You want her to love you, and you want her to be with you, and you hate the fact that she might be interested in somebody else because that hurts like hell. I know it does, but time in the future, you won't give a shit. You're going to Canada. You're living the dream. You're going all around the world, and yeah, it's ruining it for you. I've been there. Have you been hurt, Mark?
No,
I have. It's well, it kind of, when you say you're hurt, it's you and your life. It's only you doing it to yourself. It's you, basically. You don't need anybody else to live your life, but you're basically upset because that person's not interested in you anymore. And you know, there's nothing more people like when you split up with someone than that person you've split up with, or you've had a mutual break, that they're having a hard time. But if they're not, fuck, it's a bitch. You want them to have a hard time, and they're going, well, I've got all my life and found someone else. It's hard. And I imagine it. Imagine every waking hour, everything you do, you're going, let's call her Brenda. Oh, Brenda used to like that. I think I'll have an apple. Oh, Brenda liked apples. And then you turn on the TV and Friends comes on. You go, oh, I used to love watching Friends with Brenda. Oh, it's so nice. And that's what happens, isn't it? You sit there and you just remember all the good times. They will change, though, and you won't give a damn. I think you've just got to realise why you're the best, Jay, and try and work out how you're going to be a great catch for the next lovely lady who's coming along. Sorry, Mark.
I interrupted. Sorry. No, you're clearly a better person than her because you listen to the podcast.
Yeah,
she does.
Exactly.
So, I mean,
you got that going for you. I'd be comfortable with yourself. That's the best. I think that's the best quality you can offer someone, confidence. I think that's a really interesting thing. If you're comfortable with yourself and you're confident and you like yourself, I think that's a really good quality to have. And I think what you've got to think about is the world is evolving around you, and you're the centre of that world, and you owe it to yourself to make the best of your life you've been given. That's really deep stuff, but I think it's true. And I also think, I might be going a bit far here, but think about all those humans who've achieved great things, right? You know,
keep going, Tim.
And they've overcome adversity. You know, like the guy who had to saw his own leg off or arm off something to get down a mountain or something. All you have to do is go get over a sort of broken heart and smashed ego. You could set it as a challenge for yourself. You're going to do it. You're going to do this.
Are you suggesting he cuts his own arm off?
Well, yeah. No. You can do it. It's like you're not having to cut your own arm off. All you've got to do is concentrate on yourself. You could take it. it's a challenge. You know it hurts. You know it's going to pass. Try and see yourself doing it. Enjoy the pain. Enjoy it and going, this really hurts. It's your Zen training to be at peace with it. And when it comes, it's like if you give up fags, if you the pangs hit you, don't they, where they go, and you go, Jesus, I want a cigarette. And when I gave up smoking, by the way, for anyone who wants to give up smoking, the way to do it is just never stick another cigarette in your mouth. But if you want another great tip as well, the other great tip for giving up smoking is when the pangs come along, rather than go, oh, I desperately want a cigarette, enjoy it. Try and change it so you go, oh, I'm really enjoying this feeling because I know I'm winning it. That's it. And you, if you can just turn that light switch in your head to go, wow, I'm enjoying the feeling because it's coming, because it's trying to challenge me. And you can do that with Brenda. As Brenda comes into your mind, you can be going, come on then, Brenda, come into my mind. I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying the pain. It's my Zen training. I'm a bit piece of this. Once I've mastered this, I'm going to join the monastery and I'm going to be up there in some robes because I can do karate.
So now you're going to suggest he's going to be a one-armed monk?
Yeah. Just recognize the feelings. Recognize them, watch them, and try and enjoy them. Adrian has emailed in. Hi, Tim and Mark. You're going to like this one, Mark. You are going to love this email. Mark, this is the email for you, the one you like, because you're a dude. I'm still. Hopefully by the next podcast, I've stopped using that word. I don't know how to. If anyone knows how to get rid of something from your language,
can't you do it the opposite way of when you gave up smoking? You know, don't put it to your mouth. Can it just not come out of your mouth?
It's in there constantly. I can't get rid of it. It's just driving me nuts. I've got to stop listening to American podcasts. Right. Hi, Tim and Mark. This is from Adrian. I'm still listening. I can remember when you gave out certificates. Sore subject.
There's another mention of the certificates this week.
Sore subject, because the certificates. Oh, man. Mark used to do that, and then he gave up. He said the listeners aren't worth it.
You piece of work. What happened was I sent them all to Tim to sign.
Whatever.
And he lost them. That's actually what happened. So yeah, and I mean, you could, either
way, it
was
a really good idea. Apart from it involved work.
And yeah, it involved work for you, even though I had to write. Well, we did. I had to write hundreds out.
We did it all for free anyway, so we might as well not, you know. Anyway, anyway, he says. Anyhow, people don't use that word often. Anyhow, this is a dead cert business venture. If your two sponsors get together, they could make a beer tap, ice cold lager, or warm ales. Or from one tap or more, wasting time opening. So no more wasting time opening bottles and pouring it out. It's there on tap. Now, I know this has just blown Mark's head off. He knows you too well. But let's get real. All I want is 33% of the profits and a free tap.
That's absolutely fine.
And I don't remember him ever giving us this idea, do you, Mark?
That's absolutely fine.
This is an idea we came up with.
Yeah, we'll just edit this bit out of the podcast and burn that email.
Yeah.
Throw your computer in the sea.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's from Adrian. He's
Great idea, Adrian.
Oxford United. Do you know what though? It's one of those weird things that I'm thinking about, and I'm looking over at the cooker tap at the moment, and I'm thinking, you know what?
Beer could come out of that one day.
But just
they've got to sparkling water. Why don't they
add some hops? We're sounding like lads here, but the thing is,
it doesn't have to be strong. I'm not saying we're going to get
get a nice mellow low percentage, 4.5-5% or something, or less. But you know how coffee has become such a huge thing, right? Everyone wants to make their own coffee, and I'm even thinking about getting a proper coffee machine. You know where you actually put the things in.
Pull
it and do that. I kind of look at that. They're expensive, but I was looking at one the other day.
You're TV Tim. You've got the money.
TV Tim, and I was thinking,
where would it go?
I make some room over there. This is visual, isn't it? And it's
that's fine.
We're doing audio.
We're not doing it for the listeners. This is
just conversation for us. But I was thinking, if you had it, so you know, home brew, right? And you said it's home brew.
You're just chucking all the ingredients.
Chucking all the ingredients, home brew, and then you attach it to a tap, and it comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to be. Why not? And then you could go. Do you want to come round? I've got some home brew going. You can make some gin as well, and you know, you just turn your house into a bit of a pub. I think it's a good idea. Well, I'll look into it.
If you ever get that,
it's an original idea from Mark and myself.
If you ever get that installed, I'm going to come round for a podcast one day and never leave.
Just drink it all. Yeah, well, you drink all my bubbles out of my tap, so you might end up drinking all the beer. How are we doing for time, Mark?
Oh, we've been going for ages. I think we should wrap up shortly. Have you got another?
Got another couple.
I think you haven't. You got your stupid word thing that you do at the end.
I have. Yep. I'm just wondering. It's stupid. It's not stupid. It's good fun. Okay. I'm just looking at these last two, and I'm gonna pick one, which is the one I want to do, which is the good one. I'll tell you what. Let's do this last one because let's do this one. He doesn't.
Is it short?
Yeah, and he doesn't really want it read out.
Oh well, that's the perfect one, Tim.
Please don't use my real name or where I'm from. I've added my real name and location at the bottom if it helps give advice. Is someone looking for advice and he's looking for advice off us? And I think we can both help him or her.
Oh, wow. That was well disguised. Well done, Tim. You're getting really good at this after 120 or odd.
Dear Lovejoy, way, you used the right expression.
Yes, well done, sir.
I'm in my early 20s, and within the last 6 months, I've been promoted to store manager at a retailer for whom I've worked for the last 4 years, originally as a sales assistant, then a shift manager. My original plan was to join the business as a part-time sales assistant, and I didn't have any idea about what I wanted to do for a career, but I received a wealth of support at work and fast-tracked my development. Now that I've reached the highest level of in-store management, I feel like I've achieved what is possible within the business, as there aren't any future moves upwards or laterally,
yes,
that I can or want to take. I'm relatively happy when I'm at work, but due to the hours I work and the responsibility I have, I don't feel like I can relax fully at home. I spend too much time with work on my mind and can't fully switch off and enjoy time at home with my family. I have what seems like an unachievable ambition of art. But just before we get into this, because this is where he wants the advice, it's really interesting. Be very, very careful if you're young and you're listening to this that you don't get what you wish for. Because if you do that thing of like, I really want money or I really want this, and you can achieve. I was listening to someone talk about this the other day. You can peak too early in your life. You know, you can become a store manager at 18 or something, and then you've peaked in that, and you've got to then go, oh my God, I've achieved something so big now. And you know, that's a thing or whatever.
I genuinely think I did that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Go on.
I was writing and producing quite good stuff when I was 27. Much better than, you know, no disrespect to him, but you know.
Right.
But no, and you know, in my first writing room, I was 27 and everyone else was in their 40s,
but that's
50s. But it was like I'd gone in really early.
Yeah, but that's slightly, yeah, but it's slightly different though, because you're good at it and you still do it and you love it and you enjoy it. And when you talk to me about writing, you have a little sparkle in your eye more than you do when you're doing this stuff with me. It's true. And there's like a little sparkle in your eye, and you know, and I've known you for years because you used to produce me on radio and stuff. And so you enjoyed that, but the writing stuff is your real passion. So it's still your passion. And I'm sure even if you weren't making money out of it, you'd still be writing because that's what you want to do. What I'm saying is if you peak doing a job that you don't want to do, but it's too hard.
Oh, okay.
But it's too hard to leave because you're, oh, right. You're an accountant and you did really well, or you were, I don't know, something like that. You're in advertising.
But if you smashed it when you were younger, you'd just retire early, wouldn't you?
You don't want to retire, do you, when you're young? Because it's,
if you've got enough money, you do. Because
the
then
whole
you can
of your
go...
life ahead of you, what you do, then you can travel, be on a dating site. Not only do I like traveling, that's all I do.
I know, but you can do other things.
Yeah.
Would you work if you didn't? Would you work if you didn't have to?
Yeah, of course. But what is work? I mean,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, that's a hard definition, isn't it? Because I always think you know, I've had sort of what I call proper jobs. And what I do now is not such a proper job because I just love it so much. Yeah. You know, I enjoy everything I do. Anyway, this is what he gets onto, so we can give him some advice. I have what seems like an unachievable ambition of getting into TV and radio production after helping to produce an online TV show earlier this year. But I can't help but feel that it will only ever be a dream. Given your experience in this field, what advice do you have for somebody who has zero experience in the paid profession environment of TV and radio production? Will I have to head back into education to gain certain skills required? I left school following A-levels and haven't studied since I was 17. Or is there a different route that one could take? Thanks in advance for any advice you can give. All the best. Well, listen, yeah, as Mark just said there, no, you do not need an education in this thing. It's about ideas. That is what the I can't think of the right word.
Industry.
It's the equity, I suppose, is what we're looking for in this industry. Is always ideas, and so you don't need to get an education. What you do need is a passion, and then you need to work out how to do it. How would you suggest he did it, Mark?
And I don't understand the TV thing. What, can you just explain the TV thing again?
I get asked this all the time. He basically just wants to work in media, TV or radio.
But did you say he had an opportunity to do so?
He'd worked, helped produce an online TV show earlier this year, and he can't help but feel that it will only ever be a dream. So he's basically dipped his toe in and thought, yeah, this is the industry for me. It's just a lot of, you just got to get busy. I think that's the deal. How did you do it? I'll tell you who I did it in a minute, Mark. How did you do it in radio? How did you get involved in it?
Well, I was lucky because I did it when I was much younger. So I did a couple of courses, but nothing you can't teach yourself online these days. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but how did you get into Virgin and stuff like that?
Oh, well, that's what I was coming on to. So I'd done those things, but the skills I learned at Virgin, I did through doing work experience, which I'm saying, I was lucky I was young. So I wasn't expected to be bringing in money for a family or anything. Hmm. So I was lucky in that situation. So it was about getting experience and making contacts.
That's all it's about, really. It's getting experience and getting contacts, and you've got to make yourself valuable. And I think this in any line of work you're doing, you've got to try and make a contract with people. If they want you around, you've got to make sure you're valuable to them. And so I've always said this to everyone, first in, last out, make everyone coffee, make yourself useful. Don't be scared to walk around going, hey, can I make you coffee? Because when they want you on the next job, which is exactly what happened to me, they went, let's get the guy who comes up and makes us coffee all the time. At least he's useful.
Well, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I'd done a couple of weeks work experience, and then they needed a hand, completely unpaid, to do a load of stuff over Christmas, and I, what I did was have a part-time job, and then I was able to do the work experience as well as that. At the week, so you know, work at the weekend and then do part-time job.
Yeah, so exactly the same with me. I had a bar job during the night, or actually during the day, I could do either shifts, and then I would work the rest of the time, and I'd just go around doing as much work experience as I possibly could until someone one day said I could do it. I didn't have any money at the time, and I never went on holiday for years and years. I didn't do anything like I couldn't say I love traveling because I couldn't travel at that time because I didn't have any cash, and I just dedicated myself to it. I think the problem here with you, mate, is the fact that you say you have to bring money home for the family, so you have to keep your job, which obviously, and you say it's quite an intense job. I think what you've got to do is find the time, and when you find the time, you have to then go and try and do work experience and things like that. I think that's how you've got to do it. But if you're young, like Mark and I did when you got into it, and you've just got to commit work experience time to it, basically, because there's so many people getting in. So get yourself a bar job, get you something like that, and then spend the rest of your time phoning around people and just keep writing letters. I'd spoken to Davina McCall the other day, actually. She came on my show, and we both have exactly the same thing. We've got files of rejection letters, which we kept.
Yeah.
Because you just get, I reckon I got near on 250. You've got to be so thick-skinned, because you just got to keep writing and writing and writing.
It's almost an honour and a privilege to get an actual reply.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it is. It is.
You know, it's fine enough saying a rejection letter for them to even bother replying is a thing.
That is so it, yeah.
Those rejection letters are just someone actually taking their time to say no thank you, which is fine, again, you know.
I used to write a letter a day. That's what I did, because it was letters in those days. I used to write a letter a day and send it off. What I would suggest you do, though, is decide what part of TV or radio you want to work in, and then approach people. And don't forget to use the word help. But by the way, you can't come and work on this podcast because it's too random. But
I don't think he was asking that.
Just use the word help. Say, can you help me? Can you give me some advice? Can you help me? Help, 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 help. People like helping people. And then don't be scared to ask them questions when you get in there and make yourself valuable. It's an industry which doesn't need any education, but what you do need is you need ideas. That's what you need. And you need the willingness and enthusiasm to work. And you need to put in the hours as well. You can't.
It's so much work.
In the early days.
Yeah, all of it is.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So much work.
Yeah, I mean, to build my career, I did 7 days a week, ridiculously long hours. I've worked Christmas Day and everything, but now I'm in a much better position. But, you know, that's how you have to do it to begin with. But it's a great job. So you're at work, but I'm not really.
It's not always great. I wouldn't.
Oh, well, it is for me.
Yeah, it is for you, but you don't actually do anything these days, do you?
I used to have to get my hands dirty.
Yeah, but you don't now.
Well, I've got.
What's not the next, as much. What are these three words, Tim?
Which three words?
I was just trying to help you move on.
Oh, okay. Would you like to hear some life hacks, some pearls of wisdoms, things they didn't teach you at school?
Cool. Go on. No more jingle these days.
I'll put the jingle
in.
No,
I hate it.
Put the jingle in.
No, I've put it in the podcast bin. It's gone.
No, I like the jingle.
No, it's not happening.
No.
Well, you don't.
Well, I'm going on strike until the jingle comes back on.
Well, you don't edit the podcast, and so there you go. It's not happening.
Boo, Mark. Bad dude.
I'll do another one.
Bad dude.
I'll do another one.
So if you want to hear the jingle and you want the jingle to stay, please write in. Tweet me at Tim Lovejoy or dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. I like the jingle. Right, so what happens, three random words sent to me and I've got to get pearls of wisdom from them. The first one is safe. If you have anything worth putting in a safe, get rid of it. Take the value now. If anything has that much value, it owns you. You don't own it. To be really free, you have to not own anything of value that you would hate to lose. Collections are also a terrible idea. Collections are a prison sentence.
Great, Tim. What's the next one?
Fact. Do you not want to discuss that? Don't have shit. Get rid of it. And collections especially. Collections are just weird. If you've got a collection, then it owns you. Like, do you remember the Coke collection that came on that time? The guy didn't know what to his dad's collection.
His father's one, yeah.
Yeah, his father's Coke collection. It ends up owning you because you're like, what do I do with this? I can't just get rid of it. Whereas if you've got like a tatty old bag, you can go, oh, get rid of that, bin it. But you can't get rid of something that is part of a collection. And you don't know when the collection stops or starts. And you know, if you've got something really valuable and you put it in a safe, you're always scared that someone's... You put it in a safe because you're scared someone else might take it. Get the value now. Get it out. Get the value.
Well, there's stuff like deeds to the house and stuff that you can't lose, isn't there? You need to put that away.
Do you?
Have you not got the deeds to your own house?
Yeah, but don't they keep them somewhere?
I don't think so.
Mm. Next word, sentence. Okay, it's not the words in a sentence, it's the way they're said that's important. There are three parts to communication. There's words, there's body language, and there's speech. No, there's words, there's body language, and there's tone. So be careful when writing texts and emails, as there's no body language or tone. It's actually why emojis are good, Mark. So have you started adopting emojis yet?
Absolutely not. No,
see,
I'm not 12.
Think about this, though. No, Mark, it's not, because if you say something
My friend the other day sent me a motorway emoji.
Oh, what's that
motorway.
About?
Well, it was just we were laughing about a thing about a motorway, and he sent me the emoji, and he just think,
oh, that's
there's
good.
Too many...
That's good.
Do you remember when I used to, I was actually telling another friend about this the other day, when you used to send me so many emojis.
Yeah.
So I start, they're actually called emoticons. The emoji is the brand name, emoticons. I used to take a picture of my own hand doing the thumbs up, and I say, here's a photocon. And I used to send you I send you a thumbs up. Because I refuse to send those.
Yeah.
I'm not 12.
It's a good idea. I might start doing that. Can I steal that idea?
Of course
you can. People might think it's funny on social media. No, they are good, because if you say something and I used to have to write on my tweets years ago, I used to have to write sarcasm in brackets, because otherwise everyone takes you seriously because they're idiots.
No one takes you seriously.
They bloody do. So you say something sarcastic about football and they go, look, but this and that. So I had to write in brackets sarcasm. And then, I can just replace it with either the ridiculous laughing thing with the tears coming out of your eyes.
Or, I think that's used too much.
Or the wink. Yeah, but it's... I disagree with you, because the...
Isn't there like a step-down laugh? One that's like a lower... Because that's not... When someone writes something that's mildly droll and they do a watery-eye laugh, you just think, that wasn't as funny as you think it was.
But they're not doing that. What they're doing is they're sort of signalling to you, this is not serious, it's a joke. Don't take it seriously, you idiots. That's what they're saying. That's why you put that laugh.
Learn to write it so it's clear that it isn't a joke.
But how can you do that? You can't write sarcasm. You can't write sarcasm. Find the emoji for that. When you're writing you're trying to write scripts for your film or your comedies or whatever.
We don't put emojis in them.
Don't you? Well, there you go. You're missing out. But don't you say, do you have to do directions in a sarcastic voice or in a low tone? Or do you ever do the tonal?
You do. Right. You can do brackets in front of, or you can do it in the stage, in the directions.
So what you'd say the tone has been delivered in?
You can do, or it should be probably clear from
the writing.
From the conversation, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's it. Be careful what you do, because you've got to, whenever you read something, remember, they could be, like, here we go. Mark.
Sorry.
Mark, shut the door. Mark, shut the door. I can't do it. Anyway, so, you know, the same words, different
time.
Well,
you can put something in italics to emphasize the difference.
Yeah, but you don't know what the tone is of it. That's what I'm saying. So if I'm writing something to you, you don't know. I wrote you in a text earlier and I thought, and it was because Mark's in a bad mood today. I don't know if you've noticed, but he's had a few problems with his train journey here.
I haven't.
They have, yeah. 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 And I wrote you a text and then I thought, that just sounds kind of, could you misconstrue that? Let me find it for you. This would be interesting for the listener. All right, so you said...
Why would you ever text me to shut the door?
If it's raining.
Right.
Cold. It's going to be potluck, I'm afraid, as there is a train strike.
That's me.
Yeah, that's Mark. And then I said, oh no. And then I've done FFS, which, do you like abbreviations? Or are you...
I'm fine with abbreviations.
All right, so that's rude, for fuck's sake. But then I thought, is he going to interpret it as... Oh, for God's sake, you're going to be late because of the train strike. Or, for God's sake, you're going through hell because of the train strike. Which way did you look at it?
Oh, the whichever way was more negative.
The final word is... the final word is flawed. And natural stone is flawed. Never get it in your bathroom.
Is that a pun? Oh, yeah. Have you done a pun?
It could be. I didn't think about it like that. Listen, this is just advice from me. I'm a TV presenter, to you, the discerning listener. If someone tries to sell you a bathroom or a kitchen or something like that, and they say natural stone, tell them to get stuffed. Because that stuff, there's nothing natural about it. It's natural stone. You have to do so many bloody treatments on it. The stuff is killing me. If anyone out there can help me, I've put the sealer on it. I've done everything. I keep scrubbing the sodding thing. What's that stuff called? Fungus or whatever. Just keeps arriving on it. It's driving me nuts. I'm going to tear it all out and get just plain old porcelain. Because I'm bleaching
this. Less of a pearls of wisdom and more of a... more of you just venting your spleen.
Yeah, don't get stupid natural stone. Yeah, it looks great for a few weeks or months or years, but then the stuff is just terrible. Honestly, just don't do it.
But,
trust me.
But you
that.
Always say go out in nature. You could just go to your bathroom and look at the mould.
Yeah, I bloody could. It's embarrassing because people come over here and I just think they look at it and go, oh, he doesn't clean, does he? Yeah, look at him. It's like, can't get rid of the sodding stuff. You know what's that stuff called? The stuff you do around the
grout.
Edges? No, the other stuff, the plastic.
Mastic?
Stuff. Silicon, is it?
Silicon, yeah.
The fungus all growing under there because it gets into the natural stone. My mate who's a tiler said, people get it all the time. It's expensive and don't bother. The aftercare on it is just ludicrous. So there's just a little piece of advice from me to you. Don't get natural stone in your bathroom. That is it for this week's podcast. We would love to hear...
Are we honestly finishing on that?
Yeah, why not? Got something better to finish on?
No, I haven't prepared anything, Tim. I just thought you had.
No, that's it. Drop us an email, dearlovejoypodcast@gmail.com. Or you can tweet us, Tim, @TimLovejoy. We'd love to hear from you. Love your letters. I hope you enjoy answering these. Remember, I'm a TV presenter, so don't take any advice off of me. Well, if you do, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which is a horrible idea. Please write in about anything, and we'll see you very soon. See ya. Peace and love, Joy.
Bye.